Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, everything to do with Sussman, Durham, looming indictments with the one and only big money, Kash Patel. Kash Patel, he knows what's going on in our government. I'll tell you what, at a very, very important level, you don't want to mess with Kash Patel. And he minds his P's and Q's. I could tell you what, as he goes through what's happening, Kash Patel, everybody. What's on Durham's mind? Sussman, what is justice? That and so much more. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. It's June 2nd, June 3rd, June 4th. In Dallas, Texas. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show. If you feel moved to do so, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, everybody, Charlie Kirk here with the legendary and the great Kash Patel. I'll tell you what, I get more Kash Patel alerts from people. They're sending me stuff, and you're a very famous man, Kash.
Charlie, I'm trying to keep up with you and the efforts you're putting out.
Yeah, I mean, you were on Maria's show yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Recently, right?
Yeah, Devin and I, she thought it would be fun to have Devin and I, the Russiagate guys, on for the day before the Russiagate trial gets off now.
So I want to get into that. You have a new book out called The Plot Against the King. It's a book, right?
It's a children's book.
Oh, this will drive them crazy.
So basically what we thought was, it's called The Plot Against the King. And look, we said it in medieval times and we thought they're shoving critical race theory down our children's throats and down our youth. Why don't we educate our children about the truth?
Yes.
And the biggest story of our generation, Charlie, is the Russiagate hoax. And no one's teaching our kids about it. So we had this idea to say, let's set it in medieval times. We'll have a king named Donald. We'll have Hillary Clinton.
The MAGA king.
The MAGA king.
He played right into it.
I mean, could we have set it up any better? We've got Hillary Clinton and the Shifty Knight, and of course, the Knight of the Round Table, Devin. And it's our quest for truth. And the simple issue is, why shouldn't we educate our children on what actually happened in Russiagate? It's for anyone four and up, and honestly, adults should grab it.
But we don't know all of it yet.
We don't know all of it, but that's why we can write a part two.
Oh, there'll be a sequel? So it's called Plot Against the King.
Yep. And you can go to Plot Against the King.
It's the number one child's book right now on Amazon, is that
right?
And
we haven't even technically released it.
That's a tough category. I'll tell you what. There might be some not so subtle cues and clues in here.
There's a few. I think your audience is going to have fun with those.
Oh yeah,
those cues.
They got to dig through it. Okay, so
sorry, it's on plotagainsttheking.com. Just go have nuts.
All right, so people aren't as into this day to day drama of the kind of Sussman Durham stuff.
Yeah.
For good reason, because they're too busy trying to figure out how to feed their family and pay for gas and all that
and
stuff.
And get baby
right?
formula.
So we do this almost every time you're on, but I think it's worth kind of going through again. So today is the beginning of the Sussman trial. Mm-hmm. What are the charges Sussman is facing?
Okay, let's boil it down. Sussman, the head lawyer for the Hillary Clinton crime syndicate, as I refer to them as, he was law partners with the guy Mark Elias, who your audience has definitely heard about. Mark Elias is basically an uncharged co-conspirator. So what John Durham did was he said, how can I get at the Clinton enterprise? And you do it by getting a case, what's called lying to federal agents, right? So Sussman, the Clinton lawyer who started the Fusion GPS narrative for the Christopher Steele dossier for the Alpha Bank server nonsense, he got the money, tens of millions of dollars, through the Hillary Clinton campaign. He set up the infrastructure, and then he goes, okay, I've got the goods, and he knew they were false, but he takes these false goods and goes to the
FBI. Sent the text message, right, saying I'm doing this on my own capacity, not for a client, right?
And let's just put this into perspective. Do you think any everyday American can call the general counsel of the FBI overnight and get a meeting?
No, and that's what's so...
Just like, oh, hey, buddy, I'm coming in.
I mean, that just goes to show this kind of inner institutional graft that's existed, right?
Yeah, and to me, it's a stroke of genius by Durham, because what he's saying is documents don't lie. You testified to Kash Patel under oath 4 years ago, literally, that you were there on behalf of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Then you sent out a text message the day before.
Yeah.
You met with the FBI general counsel saying, I'm coming in as a good Samaritan. Then you met with the FBI general counsel, who's the star witness in this case, by the way, who's going to testify that Michael Sussman walked into FBI HQ one day after making a phone call for a meeting and said, I'm not here on behalf of anyone. I'm here as a good Samaritan. And oh, by the way, here's a bag of total false information, but please go attack Donald Trump based on it, even though I know it's false.
So Sussman is being charged for lying to the government.
Right.
Any other charges or?
No, for him, that's it right now.
Okay. And so that probably doesn't overly concern him. Is there a reason why he hasn't pled and tried to strike a deal? Is he trying to protect the regime? Is there?
Yeah, you nailed it, Charlie. So generally in these types of cases, when you build a pyramid up, and me as a former federal prosecutor, that's what you do. You go after the guys you can nail at the bottom. And then once you convict them, they're like, oh, I don't want to go to jail. I want to go. So this is the easiest case. It's a document-based case. He said X, and then he said Y, and the jury's going to see it, his testimony.
And the law is very clear. You can't lie to a federal.
You can't lie to the FBI.
Right.
So I think the reason he didn't plea is because he tried to – his defense strategy was, I'm going to try this case in the media before it gets to trial. And he wanted to build up such a corral in the fake news media that would corrupt the jury. The problem is John Durham has done such a good job of not leaking. And Sussman's lawyers have overextended their hand. And here's the key situation that I think John Durham capitalized on brilliantly. They basically said, you, John Durham, aren't giving us enough information about our client's case. John Durham goes, okay, I'm going to label it a joint venture conspiracy. And I'm going to outline the individuals in the joint venture conspiracy. And that's legal terms. He can't just say that. Mm-hmm. So now he's not just saying, Sussman, you're on trial. But you, the Clinton cartel, Fusion GPS, Andy McKay, Peter Strzok are all part of my joint venture conspiracy.
Yes. Yeah, so, but why is Durham pushing this to trial when there's all this other pending stuff, right?
It's his first case. It's his first trial as special counsel in the whole Russiagate stuff. And to me, it's where I'd start. It's the easiest one.
But why not? It's not the biggest indictment, obviously.
No.
Right. I mean, we're talking about one singular lie to the FBI. I
sure.
Mean, that's called lunch for most lobbyists, right? I mean, that's how cynical I am, right?
But you're not wrong.
But why go through this where things could be revealed in court, right? I mean, if a good defense strategy for Sussman would be to try to flush out what else the government has, mm-hmm. right?
And I think you're spot on. That's why he didn't plead, because Clinton World got to him and said, you're not plea. We need to know what they got.
Yeah, so exactly. Try to use this as an open air kind of exhibit.
To the public, to show them you don't have anything. And that was what's shocking. They came in, they airmailed in Clinton World, like Fusion GPS started writing pleadings and they're not even a defendant. And so did Mark Elias and John
Podesta. To try
Podesta.
To claim privilege?
Yeah, all these assertions of, you know, attorney-client privilege. Here's what happened. Look, as a former guy who tried 60 criminal jury trials to verdict, and as a former public defender who used to file these motions, you file these things? When you're running scared and you're like, maybe we got some legal gymnastics we can get this win on. And they've lost every major battle.
So every motion that is being filed, right?
Yep.
So, but I suppose the question is, there's nothing that Durham is probably worried about being discovered that could potentially implicate or interfere with a looming indictment.
No, that's why it's so smart to start here, because the next series of indictments that I think he's bringing are part of the conspiracy, the Andy McCabe, the Peter Strzok. Those are hard to lay out. But if you get the guy at the base of the pyramid who was in charge of all the money and who initially lied.
Yeah, but he has no leverage, though, over him, though, right?
It's not. It's building the conviction basis. It's not that you're
Is
using,
that right?
Yeah, it's okay. Not that you're
so,
using
so,
Sussman.
So build that out for me. I don't quite understand.
Yeah, so like, look. A mob case, right? Everybody's seen Godfather or whatever. When you go after the top guys in the mafia in New York,
you go after the bag man first.
You go after the bag man. You go after the money guy. You go after the guy who drove them around. And then when you convict those guys, the guys up top know he's convicted. He's facing federal prison. And 99.9% of the time, those guys facing federal prison are like, especially a career corrupt DOJ official like Michael Sussman is like, I don't want to go to prison.
No, I know. But then is there a moment in between conviction and sentencing where they go to the government and cooperate?
Oh, I've had it happen all the time.
Okay, so talk about that.
Yeah, so in federal court...
Because the judge does the sentencing, right?
Right, the judge does the sentencing, but in federal court, it's a little different than state court. That sentencing... Say Michael Sussman's convicted next week.
Okay,
right? The trial
which
ends,
I think is conceivable.
Yeah, right? His sentencing won't happen for 3 months after that.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's a whole stage.
Why is that?
So there's a whole back and forth between the government and the defense that goes on about what he should be sentenced to, what he shouldn't be sentenced to, and all these legalese and boring stuff that happens. But in that time... Me as a public defender, I've gone to the government having lost big cartel cases. And I've said, okay, we lost. Just kidding. I need help. And my guy's like, I don't want to go to prison for 50 years. I'm like, well, you better give the government something. And you have room to negotiate. In that
oh, state. Is that right? So then you as the government will say, Your Honor, even though we just prosecuted this guy successfully, he has been helpful in the last 90 days. We recommend a shortened sentence.
They could do that. The other thing is, Your Honor, we convicted him. We gave him an opportunity to cooperate. He said no. He's a guilty person. Max him out.
The judge doesn't always take the recommendation.
No, it's up to him. It's true. It's
or her, right?
Or her, but it's completely discretionary.
Yeah.
There's like rules.
But the
that
pressure
apply.
From the government plays a role.
Massive role. Massive role. It's not like he can go in and plead guilty today. He can't plead anymore. He's gonna
No. I understand that. Yeah. But there's that. That's interesting. That moment of time because I'm used to kind of like you're guilty.
Right. TV.
Right.
Go, life. No. You've got months.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. You've known it in your gut, and something just wasn't right about the 2020 election. Well, guess what? You were right. And here's the proof you've been waiting for. In Dinesh D'Souza's explosive new documentary, 2000 Mules, executive produced by Salem Media Group, you'll see jaw-dropping evidence of exactly how the Democrats pulled off the biggest heist in American history. Drawn on meticulous research from the election integrity group True the Vote, 2000 Mules uses both cell phone geo-tracking data and video evidence to uncover a massive network of illegal ballot trafficking in all five key swing states. Enough election fraud to change the outcome of the 2020 election. Thousands across the country attended the national theatrical release. Now you can watch from the comfort of your home, watch on any device with a web browser, gather friends, families, and skeptics alike, but don't miss it. Go to salemnow.com to watch it today. See the movie that Donald Trump calls a real blockbuster? Go to salemnow.com to watch today. That's salemnow.com. I think that this Durham thing is bigger than even how he realizes it, and I'll tell you why, which is we have a pattern over multiple years where people see the crimes committed by powerful people and nothing gets done. And it's not, I mean, the crimes are one thing. We're used to kind of the self-dealing crimes, right? We're used to kind of the Nancy Pelosi stuff where you just get like endlessly rich as a plutocrat. We're kind of used to the Hunter Biden stuff. We'll see, you know, what happens with that. But the Russia gate, the Russia hoax was something completely different, right? This wasn't just kind of like, okay, I'm going to go take a photo op with someone from Uzbekistan and Hunter Biden gets $100,000 wire transfer, right? This is actually using the force of government itself to try to stop the will of the people.
Yeah, and not just using the force of government. It'd be one thing if they were doing it for the right and lawful reasons, which is what government is for. They broke the law. They violated their oaths of office. These officers at the FBI, at the DOJ, at the Hillary Clinton campaign, these so-called political leaders and government career officials, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, these people literally collected knowingly false information that they knew was paid for by a political opponent. Then they went to a federal court and said, we are going to surveil you because we don't like you. Just think of it, Charlie, for your audience. If your dad, your mom, your sister, your friend, the FBI decided to tailgate them because an ex-boyfriend or lover went to them and said, this person's terrible. You got to be on my side. I'm going to give you $10 million. And here's a whole bunch of trash that's false on them. Go surveil them and then try to send them to prison.
But I mean, this is what frustrates me, right? I used to support all this garbage when I didn't know any better, Patriot Act and all this stuff, right? But now I think it's all a bunch of crap, which is... We're spying on moms and dads using FBI threat assessment tags, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is this all this connected in some way that if they don't feel as if there is a punishment or a consequence for abusing these instruments of power, then yeah, they're going to go spy on the parents next.
Exactly. Yeah. And so here's where I think you get it right and where most people get it wrong. It's not a one-off. It's not like these guys are evil, but they're geniuses. They started this plan for Russiagate takedown of Trump when he was running for president, but they weren't like, we're going to stop when we defeat him as they thought they would. They continued into government. But what did they do once they got in government? They used their political skills. I hate to call them that, but to go in and see deep state officials into places like the FBI and say, How do we advance our knowledge now that Trump's in? How do we take him out? And we take him out by calling parents domestic terrorists because they support Donald Trump. We call people racist because they support Donald Trump. We call CRT, they call it the bedrock of fundamental learning. And I call the plot against the king the bedrock of fundamental learning, right? But they advanced that because the political leaders did their work for them. And not just under this administration, they did it under Donald Trump and his appointees too. That's the part that ticked me off the most.
Yeah, and you saw it from every angle, right? So you saw it from being a staffer for Devin. You saw it from being, I think, chief of staff, right? Acting chief of staff for Department of Defense, right? And being actually within our military and all that. You've seen it from every possible angle. And so now there is kind of this remnant investigation. It kind of is like the last gasp of the American justice system. And I believe that if this does not end in serious consequential perp walks and indictments, that I don't think we're prepared for the cynical asteroid that's going to hit American conservatism.
That's a great way to put it. And I've never heard it put quite like that. You're absolutely right. Accountability. That's why I went in to become a terrorism prosecutor, to take out terrorists who killed Americans, right? That's why a lot of us signed up for the national security mission. Accountability. But what pissed me off and why I left the Department of Justice is the lack of internal accountability when people within DOJ and FBI break the law. Hillary Clinton email server scandal, Russiagate, whatever, what have you, Ukraine impeachment fiasco, Uranium One, talk about whatever you want, right? Corrupt officials, we used Russiagate to show that it didn't just happen there, it happened everywhere. What Americans are craving is the accountability that would have happened to them had they broke the law, and you're right.
In Aristotle's Metaphysics, and Socrates said the same thing, which is the human soul has a yearning for justice. And I pay my taxes, you pay your tax. I follow traffic laws, we don't commit crimes. And you see these people commit the most flagrant crimes and nothing happens to them. And I sure hope that story completes itself. Or else the ground of which our entire political foundations are built are going to shake to the core. It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say. Don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers, they're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with a problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this, they're helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, we are no longer allowing you to bank with us. Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually, and I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right. And that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever. Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com. For a quick mortgage checkup, use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord, they love America, and they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage related. Stop using the banks who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com. Cash, isn't the new studio great?
This studio is awesome, and I'm glad that I'm like the first guest to be in here.
Yeah, you actually are. You are the first guest. You are the inaugural guest.
I'll take it.
So we're running your ad behind you, just so you know.
Okay, can I just talk about this real
please,
quick?
Please, yeah.
So what better way to go after the left than go to the heart of the enemy's kingdom? So in Times Square, this billboard is literally launching in 20 minutes, and it is going to play 100 times a day for the next week.
DurhamWatch.com.
We actually have the biggest theater, and we're going to force it down the mainstream media's throats and every corrupt bureaucrat in New York City, and we are going to educate the world on what Durham Watch is, what happened in Russiagate, and you can follow it. I'm going to do live daily updates on Truth Social at Cash for the trial. And this is the first of three to come.
So there's jury selection and stuff happening right now. So I love the billboard campaign. So now I want to get into the nitty gritty of this. Okay.
Let's
so
go.
Sussman gets indicted. Yes or no? What do you think? It's a DC jury. I'm not indicted. I'm sorry. Convicted. I'm sorry.
Yes. He gets convicted.
You think so?
Because here's a quick reason, right? Most conspiracies and most lies, they're like, he said, she said, he said, she said. John Durham has him under oath saying X.
What could the defense possibly say with the text message?
They're going to do two things. They're going to try to do this thing called jury nullification, which is unlawful. They're going to be like, you have to feel so bad for our client. He saved the world. Please don't convict him, right? It's the...
But they have a way to do that without doing it.
Right. So you can't straight on say it, but they're going to be like, Sussman's a hero. He was working for the right side of the
world. High-pressure campaign. He was in a taxi when he sent it. He didn't quite under... Like, or whatever.
And they're going to basically say this thing called materiality. That's the key when you lie to a federal official. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, he lied, but so what? No big deal. And John Durham's going to come in and be like, you lied about the most consequential investigation in U.S. history. Of course we rearranged assets when you came in, and it's material.
So the people get off on DC stuff all the time if they're one of them. Okay, but we'll see. So let's say Sussman gets then convicted, 90-day window more or less, right?
Yeah,
sentencing window
about that.
Before he has to face a judge. Do you think Sussman then sings?
I think there's a good chance because he doesn't want to go to prison, right? Right now he's going to think he,
but the minimum is what, 3 years?
Nah, it's probably for him, and it's probably more like a 1 to 2 stretch in the federal pen.
Yeah, but like not in, it's going to be at like some farm in like Massachusetts.
And the reality is anybody in his position wouldn't get sent to
the
federal
prison. He'll get out in 60 days on good behavior.
No. So that's the kicker about federal prison that people don't realize. You do 85% of your sentence.
Then how did Michael Cohen get out so quickly?
Well, he got a pardon from like for what's it called? COVID, China virus, all that stuff. But remember, the libs ended China virus last year.
Oh, that's right.
Ago,
got
so
it. Okay. All right. So the federal, you have to do 85%.
85%.
Yeah. There's no way to get out of it.
Unless you cooperate.
Okay. Got it.
That's
so. But he's looking at a couple years here. So then, but let's talk about how, let's say Durham gets nothing from him.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Does Durham have enough to build up the ladder?
Yeah, because people, you know, I remind people, this is his third case, his first trial, but he already convicted the FBI of lying to the federal court. And his monster indictment is the one behind this one that he's trying in a couple of months down the road, the Danchenko indictment, where he's got this guy charged with 5 counts of lying.
Now, is this the computer programmer guy?
No, that guy's... So this is a great point, Charlie. So Danchenko is the Steele source. He is the guy that sourced the information to Steele, and he literally went to the feds and said, all of this information is BS. Why are you using it for anything? But his problem was he lied to them 5 times over about other stuff. So smartly, John Durham's like, I'm going to charge that guy. Now, the guy you just alluded to, the tech guy, Joffe, right? John Durham said in a pleading, I think 2 weeks ago, the tech executive that Sussman hired to do the Alpha Bank nonsense is a current target of my investigation, Judge. I'm not done with him yet. That was essential to this case that he's bringing against Sussman, because the defense was like, we want immunity for the tech executive. I don't know if you saw this. The defense came in and said, Judge, you have to immunize this guy, which they can't do because they're afraid of what he's going to say. Joffe has now said to the government, I'm going to plead the fifth because I'm a target of a federal investigation.
Now, part of this, though, is also Sussman and all of them are kind of like, why is Durham coming so hard against us, right? Like, the rules aren't supposed to apply to us. Kind of thing.
That's 100% right. Because he's like, we are above it. We saved America from Trump. Why are you prosecuting us?
Well, they didn't. But
no, they didn't. But that's in their head.
Yes, that's the intent. So then how do you see this playing out? What other indictments do you think, as this kind of starts to build up to a crescendo? How far are we from a crescendo of seeing the perp walks that we deserve?
Yeah, so this is the base mid-level of the pyramid, right? The bottom, let's call it 3 layers. This is levels 3 and 2. The top of the pyramid, and I always tell people, let's be realistic. You're not going to indict Hillary Clinton. We're not going to indict James Comey. They're way too smart. They're way too evil. But all roads have always said lead to Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok, the deputy director of the FBI and the head of the counterintelligence agency at the FBI that ran the Russiagate investigation. These two guys, I mind you, have been caught lying by the inspector general's office, were fired for those lies. And now their own notes were released last week by the defense that the FBI put out themselves.
What do the notes say?
This is stunning. They admitted that they knew for almost a year that the Russiagate investigation was launched on false information. They then went to the court four times and lied about it. And they went to the American public and leaked it selectively. And these notes show that they knew that. So I've always said those guys are in the biggest trouble. And if you can indict Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok, that is the accountability that America needs, that justice demands.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but the McCabe thing, I thought that was already kind of handled.
So just for him lying about leaking, right? Nothing about his activities related to Russiagate has been handled.
Right. But are you saying that Sussman was in coordination with McCabe and Strzok as well? Is that right?
Yeah.
So was Sussman, then he reached out to this general counsel guy,
mm-hmm.
and did McCabe and Strzok know that?
Yeah. Do you know who was, and this is what John Durham brilliantly proved. He put them all in one meeting in March of 2017.
Who did?
John Durham. He put Strzok, Page, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, Baker, the acting attorney general, and other high-level DOJ employees in one meeting, in one room, talking about Michael Sussman's alphabet.
Okay, he put them, meaning he's figured out they were all in a room.
Through their own notes.
Okay, so Durham wasn't there, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. Okay, yes. So their own notes, there was kind of an all-hands-on-deck meeting in 16 or 17?
Both. For 6 months. About the Sussman Alpha Bank information, about the Steele dossier information, how to handle it, what to do with it. And they put in their own notes that they knew the information was bogus.
So why can't this go to Hillary or Comey? I mean, you're talking about tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's insane amounts of money.
Here's the problem, right? You know, what I think is John Durham's report can go to Comey and Clinton. And that's about as good as we're going to get. I don't think the conventions can. Because look, I used to work with James Comey, right? When he was running the FBI and I was a terrorism prosecutor. The guy is too smart. He knows how to put up walls and make sure it never comes back to him on a string. But he's the first guy to throw everyone else under the bus. Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, everyone. So that's what
I mean, if McCabe is facing 10 years in federal prison,
he might sing.
But that's an unlikely thing, right? I mean, he still wants his daughter to get into Harvard and like all this, you know, the perks of the ruling class or whatever, right?
Right.
They will threaten all of that, right? Parking pass rescinded, wife off some museum board, right?
No, and
grandkids people, will never go to State Albans.
People forget
or whatever,
this. Right? Andy McCabe's wife ran for statewide office in Virginia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And Terry McAuliffe.
$700,000.
That's right. No, that's all part of the machine, right? It's part of the blackmail operation that exists there. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess so. Clinton world is freaked out. Elias, is he going to get indicted?
Oh, I think he is in even more trouble than Sussman.
So tell me why.
So Elias was the head honcho, right? Michael Sussman was the co-partner when they orchestrated the entire operation. When they were both the heads of the political law department at Perkins Coie, the law firm, right? Mark Elias has made a name for himself going out and suing on behalf of Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, doing redistricting. He's their legal guy. And Mark Elias is the one that went out and hired Fusion GPS and went out and made Fusion GPS find Christopher Steele and orchestrated the whole narrative to have the Steele dossier as a tool to go spy on Donald Trump. And so if you've noticed, Mark Elias left his law firm right before Sussman got indicted. That's not a coincidence. Took his political law practice elsewhere and has made no public statement since his partner Sussman got indicted. Because John Durham has basically told him, you are an unindicted co-conspirator.
Which very well could become an indicted co-conspirator.
Which very well could.
Why hasn't it happened yet?
So when you build cases like this, and this is what I used to do, I would get the guy I needed to nail first, right? And I would put out in my indictment that I have unindicted co-conspirators. Essentially what John Durham has said, I have a joint venture conspiracy. I've got all these other folks here that I'm looking at. So you get the first guy, because then you can go to the others, and once you charge them and be like, I already convicted this guy, I'm going to convict every one of you other people. I need one of you to sing. Who's it going to be? That's how you methodically build.
Elias has a lot of secrets, though. A lot deeper than just this, though. Elias is the gatekeeper of the ballot election stuff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Elias is like, he's
But that's why you don't go after him first.
I know, but he you want to talk about a guy that if you ever had a truth serum and you could have an hour with somebody, he'd tell you everything, man. He would know everything. I'm sorry.
And he might. He might be forced to once the...
I don't know. He's pretty loyal to the regime. And they're loyal to him, though. I mean, you want to talk... He was the mastermind behind Stacey Abrams, mastermind behind Center for Technology and Civic Life. He's suing in every corner across the country for redistricting. I mean, he's a slippery guy.
No, he's a total weasel. He's a complete eel.
Yes.
And he's made a fortune out of being one of the Democrats' strongest legal minds. But that's what they do better than us. They back him and he backs them. And we never coalesce like they do. That's why.
What about Podesta? Is Podesta in any of this?
Or? He's in the middle of it. He's been identified and named by John Durham in the Sussman case as the guy who led the Clinton campaign, who testified to me under oath about his relationship and involvement.
Podesta testified to you?
Yeah. Oh, Podesta did. Sullivan did. Elias did. All of these depositions are available online now. Rick Grinnell and I declassified them.
This is when you were running the DNI. Oh, well, this is at DNI.
So here's a quick story. I took 60 depositions under oath when I was at Congress running Russiagate, Sussman, Elias, all these people, attorney generals, everyone. Adam Schiff comes in and buries them under classification. Fast forward 2 years down the road, Rick and I are running DNI. We go out and release every single transcript. They're on the internet. They're everywhere. They're on fightwithcash.com. Every single transcript.
Wow.
Your audience can go and read them and see what we set up as their conspiracy.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm getting at, and we're going to have you back as these cuts develop, so I want to have a whole board of how this all connects, is how high can this go to both serve justice, which is to give every man what is their due, and boy, is there a big due for these people, but also just to kind of send a little bit of a message to our base that the rule of law still exists in America, that it's not some sort of mirage, it's not an aberration, this is not some sort of kind of meaningless exercise, right? Because a lot of people right now are going through intentional decisions every day to be ethical and to be a good person. And if you feel you're represented by this banana republic and by kind of a cartel of criminals, you start to have a pattern of behavior I don't think we are willing to really go under. I don't want to live in the country where every normal person says, yeah, if you just want to commit crimes, run for Congress. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. With the left in a total panic over Twitter and DHS essentially creating their own Ministry of Truth, it is safe to say we're facing the biggest threat to the First Amendment in our lifetime. That's why I'm proud to support Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage so you get the same great service without funding the major carriers who donate to the left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious liberty, the rights given to you by God and protected in the Constitution and the sanctity of life. So make the switch right now today. I've made the switch. Our team has made the switch. Do it right now. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. They also have special discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes. Patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. We've been talking about all sorts of different, we've kind of been focusing mostly on the Sussman thing, the Durham thing. Just to close that up, what's the timeline here? What do you think?
Jury selection is underway right now. That usually takes 1 to 2 days in federal court. This is a document-heavy, witness-heavy case, so it'll probably go about 10 days is my estimate, 7 to 10 days. So if we get a conviction or verdict, I should say, by the end of next week, we're doing good on time. It might be a little longer.
Yeah, and I sure hope so. I mean, the way this is progressing now, it still remains unclear as all that kind of continues. Okay, you spent a lot of time at the president. Where's his head at with kind of how things are progressing politically? I mean, there's rumors he's going to run in 2024. What do you think?
I mean, I think they're past rumors. I'm not going to end that sentence with the conversation I had with him 2 weeks ago when we were golfing down in Mar-a-Lago, but he's, as you know, just as well as I do, he's extremely politically involved in everything on the midterms. He's raising money for his super PAC. He's going around the country doing rallies for governors, for Senate candidates and the like. He wants to go out there and win big in the midterms and make sure that he wins with candidates who are going to defeat the people that voted to impeach him and the rhinos that basically helped get him out of office. So he's as motivated as I've ever seen him. But the kicker is, he's in the best mood and spirits and health as I've ever seen him.
Yeah, he looks great.
He looks great. He's super happy. He is back on social media, which has landed him.
Yeah. So you're involved in Truth Social.
Yes.
It's going well.
It's going well. So I have to now publicly disclose I'm a board member of Truth Social.
Oh, is that right? There's all these security laws?
Yeah. Apparently, otherwise they'll come after me. But anyway.
Do you own shares? Do you have to do that too?
I get no money and I get no compensation. Okay. I'm the one guy, Charlie, that picks up more and more roles along the way and nobody pays me for any of them.
Well, I don't feel sorry
for you, so. So we unleashed the boss on Truth Social, 2 weeks ago? And his following alone is 3 million human beings.
No and bots, right? None of that.
No bots. Yeah. Zero bots, because we have Devin Nunes as the CEO running the right. dang company. And on top of that, the Elon Musk stuff, we got to talk about.
Yeah, tell me. Quick.
So people are like, what is Elon doing with Twitter? And I literally went to the boss in Devon and I said, this is, just stay out of the way. This is the best advertising Truth Social could have ever asked for.
Well, your instinct was right.
And never pay for any of it. He's going out there and advocating for free speech, which we all should be doing anyway. He's going out there and saying Twitter is full of more than 10 to 15% bots. Twitter came after him just the other night because Twitter's legal department said, you can't tweet that. We have bots on our platform. They went nuts. People are leaving Twitter. He's firing the heads of yep. Twitter. I don't know that he's going to complete the sale.
I support Elon and what he's doing. I don't know if he's going to complete the sale either. But what he's done is he might unintentionally just completely break the company. It's either he owns it and he'll turn it into something beautiful, because I think that's what Elon does. Mm-hmm. He does it phenomenally well. Or he'll be like, wait a second, this actually has more bots than I realize. I'm not going to go along.
But just think of that concept, Charlie. An individual who could, one man who could come in and either remake Twitter
yes.
or destroy it. Who would have ever even thought that was possible 6 to 8
well,
months ago?
Well, it takes the courage of Elon.
It does.
Really does. I mean, and whether it's, let's see how much courage he does have, because they're threatening DOJ investigations and SEC investigations. I mean, that's the way the regime works, right? Censorship is central to their plans. If you can't shut people up, well,
no, that's why Twitter themselves came after him and said, you violated a non-disclosure agreement.
That's right.
Now we're going to refer you to the SEC and DOJ.
Yes, that's right.
But the thing about Elon is like, I don't care about that. Right. You know, like, yeah. I don't know the guy, but you can see how he operates. That's not going to stop him.
His superpower is also his greatest liability, which is he's kind of on the spectrum in the way where he doesn't, like the kind of social awareness thing, doesn't care. I think that's awesome, by the way. I think that we could all learn something.
No, if you're looking at him, he's tweeting at like 2 a.m. about NDA violations things like that, because that's how hard he works. And, you know, and look, actually, we just launched the desktop version of Truth Social. So now we're on laptop computers and computers everywhere.
Well, I just, that's awesome. I just laugh when these journalists are saying, Elon Musk is destroying society. I said, if Elon Musk put some brain power towards destroying society, you wouldn't want to see what he came up with. Like Elon Musk a year in the basement, like he could do killer robots or something. Buying Twitter, you should be thanking him.
No, and just staying on Elon, but shifting gears a little bit. Chief of Staff at the Department of Defense, right? Our biggest chunk of budget to a private contracting entity went to all of Elon Musk's companies, SpaceX,
of course,
et cetera.
Yes.
But hang on. We did it. Do you know how much money that guy saved us in space? Do you know how much we are dominating in space because of
Is
Elon?
Is that right?
Not because we gave it to government bureaucrats.
So that's a legitimate thing.
It's a legit program. And he saved us, I'm not kidding you, $20 to $30 billion.
So we could send it to Ukraine.
Right, exactly. And Pelosi can buy Pelotons.
Yeah. Fightwithcash.com, the plot against the king. Sure hope that there's some perp walk soon. I'm counting on you, Cash. You have nothing to do with it, but I'm going to blame you anyway.
And now just blame me. It's okay.
Cash, you're a great American. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.